Hey, get your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. While they're giving that, let me give a preface to my sermon this morning. I'm going to talk about the process of manhood. Ladies, thank you for continuing to come out this month. I know I've talked about manhood, but let me be honest with you. Ladies, we need you. We need you to help us, to encourage us. And I believe every man ought to discover how to be a man. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the process of manhood. But listen, you may not agree with everything I say this morning, but you take for granted that people agree with everything you say. But I want you to at least listen to me with an open mind. James, I'm going to have you drive in the back. I lost control here. Listen to me with an open mind this morning. I believe that God is going to do something tremendous. Amen? All right, let's pray for a minute. Father, give me favor with the audience so they hear what you're saying. Sit Jason Scales down, and God, you speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. You put my scripture up, 1 Corinthians 13, 11. I'm going to have this one scripture the entire month. Just one scripture the entire month, and it says this. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, there is nothing wrong, I'm going to repeat what I said last week. There's nothing wrong with thinking like a child. There's nothing wrong with talking like a child and reasoning like a child when you are a child. But when you are a man, there comes a time that you put away childish things. Every man in here, if you can find another man, high five and tell him, I'm a grown man. Find somebody to tell him, I'm a grown man. Now, with that same fervor, I want you to look at that man and say, brother, I need you to be the man since you are a man. I'm going to talk about the process of manhood. Becoming a man is not a one-time event. I'm dealing with an adult audience here. You don't become a man the first time you get drunk. You don't become a man the night you lose your virginity. You're not a man because of how many women that you sleep with. You're not a man because you can fight and you win a few fights. You're not a man because you go through puberty and your voice gets deep and hair starts showing up on your body. Manhood is a process, and it's not for the weak. It's not for the simple. It's for a man who says, I'm not perfect, but God is perfecting me every day. Now, there's some men here who say, I'm not perfect, but God is still working on me. Yeah, it's a process that develops that what God has put inside of you. And ladies, I'm going to say it again. We need your help. Right. We need your encouragement. We need your correction. We may act like we're not listening, but we need your correction. And we need your support as we go through the process of manhood. We need each other. There are four things I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you about two this Sunday and two another Sunday of how the process of manhood works. But the first one is this. If you go to my first slide. To become a man has to reject passivity. Somebody said, you got to reject passivity. Now, some of you like to put an I where that A is, but that ain't really going to work to make you become a man. You'll catch that later on, but you got to reject passivity. Yeah, I thought that hit you. Passive men, let me tell you something about passive men. Passive men submit to another person's will simply because it's easier than figuring out what to do by yourself. I'm not talking about the kind of submission when you go on your job or to the police or to anything like that. I'm talking about a submission because you're too lazy to figure something out. Regardless of the consequences, you just say, do whatever. Passive men, they lead that way in their marriage. They lead that way in their childhood, with their children. And they lead that way in every part of their life. Then there's another type of passive person that y'all probably never met this person before. I'm going to introduce them to you since you probably never met them. It's the passive aggressive person. It's a person that avoids conflict at all costs. But meanwhile, they're silently stirring up contention in the fire while they're rejecting the conflict. This is the person who will leave a note in the break room. They'll send out an email to their boss and ask them to send it out anonymously about something going wrong. Then they'll smile in your face like everything is all right. Y'all probably never met that person before, right? I thought y'all never had. Let me give you some reasons why men are passive. If you'll go to my next slide. I didn't realize I was passive and dealing with passivity till I went to college. And I went to college driving my parents' 1998 Plymouth Grand Voyager minivan. No idea why I'm driving on campus with some wood grain panels on a minivan. Couldn't tell me nothing. I swore I was the man. But I went to the mall one day long before Barbara, way before Barbara. Way before Barbara, all right? I was about a freshman in college. I started school like 17, 18 years old. And I went in the mall and I tried these shoes on. Well, when I went to the mall, I'm used to my mama being with me. And mama would always say, Jason, come here, let me see them shoes fit. I put my shoe out, mama put a thumb on there, you can wear these. This young lady was sitting right there with me and I tried my shoes on. I said, hey, can you tell me if the shoes too big or not? She said, what?
I said, are these shoes too big? She said, I ain't putting my foot down, my finger down there on your shoe. She said, your mama must do everything for you. And I stopped in that moment. Y'all remember Ratatouille? I don't know if y'all watched the movie Ratatouille. We had that moment with that soup. I had a moment like Ratatouille, like, what? Like everything. My mama does do everything for me. And I don't want her to stop. She washes my clothes. She drove me groceries from Shelbyville to Chattanooga. Like, my mama took real good care of me. And I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. Perhaps I was looking for another mama. And I would have been the worst boyfriend back then. I was spoiled. Y'all keep this look straight ahead. Y'all never met this person. I want everything my way. I was used to everything being catered to me because mama did everything for me. And it all came to a head in that moment when that girl said, I ain't checking these shoes out, said they fit. Let me tell you why many men are lazy. Y'all right in here? I had to lighten up the mood. Many men are lazy. Many men are passive because we're lazy, we're selfish, and we can be unconcerned. And many men, we have selective aggression. We're aggressive about what we want to eat. We are aggressive about what we like. But if we don't like it, many times we check out and just like, whatever. I played basketball in high school. In my sophomore year, we had a decent team. My biology teacher, accelerated biology, I was proud of that. He went to the game, and he called me up to his desk the next day after the game. He said, Jason, he called me Scales. He said, y'all look good last night. He said, you played good. I said, thank you, Mr. Smith. He said, do me a favor. I said, anything, Mr. Smith. He gave me a compliment. He said, you know that person that was playing last night? Can you have him show up in my biology class? Oh. Yeah, I think I can find him. I was passive. I didn't care nothing about biology. You know, that same spiel everybody give me. What does biology got to do with life? You know, I'm going to go on and do this. The reality is, men, we have to go just as hard on things we don't like that we do like because it's our responsibility. So many men can be selfish, lazy, selfish, and unconcerned. Another reason that men, y'all just bear with me on this, men avoid conflict many times, particularly with a contentious wife. Contentious means quarrelsome. Proverbs 21 and 9. It's all right, breathe. Proverbs 21 and 9 says this. I'm going to preach this morning. It said, better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Most men are not going to argue with you. You're going to talk. We're going to say it. We're not just going to keep going back and forth. Most men are not. Here's the flip side of this. Passive men provoke anger in women. So we don't want to be in a house with an angry woman, but when you're passive, you will provoke the angry in the woman. Watch this. Because there is a load that, here's my wife right here for the first time, Barbara, wave your hand. She's right there on the front. I didn't want to make no point there. There is a load that we are supposed to be carrying. But when I am passive, the load of we turns into the load of she. And she is so angry because I won't stand up, I won't be the man, and now she has every right to be mad at me, and now because she's mad, I'm going to go upstairs and play PlayStation with Isaiah. Because I ain't fooling with all this. Can you see how it works there? So men have to learn how to deal with conflict, and we have to learn how to share the load of we. Every man, can you repeat after me? I will share the load of we. Here's the next thing is this, ignorance. Many men are passive because we haven't seen it modeled. And many men, be honest with you, we're too afraid to ask for help. We're too afraid to say, I don't know, because if we say, I don't know, we already think you know more than us, so it's going to make me look even more stupid and give you even more reason to beat me down. Y'all right in here? Yeah, thank you. Another thing is this. Men are passive because many of us have low confidence. The worst thing you ever want to see is a man with a broken will. A man who is put down, scrutinized, and everything he has done is judged, you will break that man's will if you embarrass us. I don't know what about this male ego. We got to live with this thing. But if you embarrass us, we will shut down on you. You can tell us we're getting fat. You can tell us we're losing hair. You can tell us we can't cook. But if you ever embarrass us as a man, you ain't no man. You are less than this, and you talk to us like that. That man that you see, he will be there in body, but he's not going to be there in spirit. Because when a man's will is broken, he has low confidence, he becomes passive. You know another reason, can I be honest with you, men have low confidence? When you deal with shame and guilt. Life happens. Amen. People make mistakes. And you say a man who has not been in his children's life, he has that shame of guilt showing up now and trying to be in their life.
life happens in marriage, say infidelity happens, something happens in a marriage or relationship, that man will sometimes take back and never step up and be the man because he got all this past behind him. He got all this dirt that he's done, and he feels too ashamed. He feels too embarrassed to step up and be the man. Now, you mad at him because he won't step up, but on the same hand of him, you mad at him because of what he did. You all right in here? So, thank you. Whoever came, I needed that. It's tight in here. But the reality is at some point that man has to, and I'll get to it later, clean up after himself and say, I'm sorry. And he has to get over his confidence and look at another man. Every man find another man and say, be the man. Another reason, and it's the last reason men are passive, is because many men are checked out. Can somebody tweet this for me? Write this down in your notes, put it on social media. Most people are gone relationally before they ever leave physically. Most people are gone relationally before they ever leave physically. You will never get a man to be assertive by embarrassing him or comparing him. But you will get a man to be assertive by challenging him. You will get a man to be a man and say, I see what you can be. It's not what you are right now. But let me paint the picture. Now, don't watch this. And don't neglect the fact that he's lazy. He could be trifling. He got all these things going on. But provoke what he could be. But at the same time, hold him accountable when he gets off path. I'm going to tell you how to overcome passivity. You all right in here? Here's how you overcome passivity. The first thing is this. You got to develop a vision or a big picture. Go back to the next slide. Last slide. You got to develop a vision or a big picture of what things should look like. It don't cost a dime to dream. You let that man dream with you. Man, you will see a side of him you've never seen. Because men have selective assertiveness. We all grown in here, right? Yeah, for the most part, we're grown in here, right? A man will go to the opera, ballet. He'll go with you to get your nails done. He'll go with you to get your hair done. He'll sit there and listen to conversations, and you think he's listening. But he done mastered three words. The whole time you talking, he said, what? Shut your mouth. Get out of here. And you don't realize he got the same three words on repeat. And you just talking away. What? Shut your mouth. Get out of here. He's saying the same thing. What? Shut your mouth. Get out of here. And you just talking. We just three same three words. And you know why he's doing it? Because he sees a happy ending to the night. And he's working with you the whole time. And you just sitting there. What? Shut your mouth. Get out of here. And some of you sitting here saying, Lord, he ain't even taking me to get my nails. He ain't took me to get no dinner or nothing. You ain't making him work for it. He won't even stop by you a honey bun on the way to see you. If you put up no challenge, I'm not saying, I know this is, we in 2016, 2017. Listen, before marriage, sex, you're not supposed to be having sex, and married couples don't withhold sex from each other. But the reality is, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Let me say what's real versus what's actually happening. All right? The next thing is this. Let me get out of this one. After a man dreams, you got to let him dream without sarcasm. I'm going to say it again. Let him dream without sarcasm. Don't degrade or belittle him while he is dreaming. He tell you, I want a Bentley. How you going to have a Bentley? You ain't even changed the oil on this little car we got right here. I can't even get to work. Got to roll the window down. And these folks think I'm enjoying outside because we ain't got no air. The reality is she's hot. She ain't got time to hear about no Bentley, and she's hot. She's sweating. The air don't work. It's running hot. You got to pull over and put water. There's a quart of oil in the back of your car because you're leaking oil everywhere you go. You can't go in certain neighborhoods because you leave a trail everywhere you go, like the Jerry Carroll days. But the reality is, I'm making it light, but it's true. If you ever let him dream without sarcasm, that doesn't mean you don't hold him accountable. Well, if we're going to do this, then you know these are some things we have to take care of. Here's the next thing you got to do. You got to pray for an increase in faith, because a man's faith has to be involved. And you got to pray for a conviction around the dream. This creates an urgency when there is a conviction. I am convicted about time. If you notice, when Brother Sam got up, he said, you're going to be here for an hour and 15 minutes. You're going to come in here. The first service is about an hour. This service is an hour and 15 minutes. It will be the best hour and 15 minutes of your life. We will get in here. We will experience God. I don't believe it's going to take 3 hours. It don't take all day. You're going to experience all of God in an hour and 15 minutes, because I am convicted that most people waste time. That's why at the end of their life we have so much regret. We can't just go to sleep and be with God because you're thinking about all the things you shouldn't have done and all the things that you should have done that you did not do. I believe you ought to maximize the moment. I am convicted about time. I am convicted about a budget. I believe that people, you ought to stay within your means. With that being said, I asked Barbara if I could share the story. Our last house, we had a garage that needed to be cleaned, right? And Barbara would come home every day. Jason, this garage needs to be cleaned. And I'm thinking in my head, if I came in here and said these dishes need to be washed, it'd be World War III in here. It would. In reality, Jason, this garage, y'all just look straight ahead. That's all I want you to do. Y'all would just look straight at me. And I was getting mad. I'm like, for real mad. Like, Jason, this garage needs to be clean. And I was like, all right, I know the garage needs to be clean. I'm tired working, doing all this stuff like that. Man, it was contentious for me for a minute. Like, I'm laughing now, but it was not funny then. No, it wasn't. You know why she thought the garage needed to be clean? I parked outside. She parked in the garage. So when she parked, she had to get around stuff. It didn't affect me. You know how she got to me? It must have been bad. She went and talked to my mama. And I think mama said, tell him you're going to hire somebody. And Barbara said, I'm going to hire somebody to come clean this garage. No, you're not. Guess what happened? Garage got clean. Do you think I cared whether or not that garage was clean? Absolutely not. I cared that she was happy, and I cared that we met the budget. What did she do? She spoke to me according to my conviction. If you speak to people according to their conviction, you will waste a whole lot of time this stupid stuff we spend arguing. Some of you may not be speaking now, about 3 or 4 months, over something that if you would learn to speak the language of your spouse, amen, speak the language of that guy, speak the language of that female, you would be surprised how much happens. Yes. She spoke budget. I said, whoa, we got to get this thing done. You all right in here? You speak according to their conviction, and you won't have to beat them down. You won't have to fuss. Man, he just trifling. You ain't got to have no wait and excel moment where y'all sitting there drinking fun drinks and talking about all the stuff. Y'all looking at me, just look straight ahead. And y'all talking about, I can't believe it. You can cut all that stuff out if you learn to speak a person's conviction. Because when you can turn around their conviction, things start to happen. They're making sense in here. The next thing is this. Be in the now and take an active role in your dream. If I'm going to get there, Barbara does a great job of putting me in a great picture. One of the things she helped me with yesterday, and I'm almost ashamed to say it, we were sitting there, and it was tight, and it was hot. And I said, does it feel like that sometimes in our church? And she said, yeah. I said, oh, it's time to build. She spoke to my conviction, and she helped me paint a bigger picture of, oh, this is what we could do. That makes sense here? First, it's hot. You got to do something. Look straight ahead. I know how many arguments have been started in your house. I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this. Speak according to this. I don't know why I'm stuck there. And the last thing is this. I've struggled with passivity, and I've struggled with things that don't bother me. I'm just like, whatever. But what I've learned to do is communicate so there are no assumptions. Here's the challenge. Barbara's a doer. So when she comes in, and this is not just marriage. This is people who are just doers. When she asks me to do something, and she comes in, and it's not done, guess what she assumes? I don't want to do it, and it's not going to get done. I could have had a million things happen. I could have took care of this and that. Communication is the key. And I have to say, hey, listen, before you come home, I didn't. The dishes are not washed or XYZ. But if I can communicate, communication makes the world go around. So I learned how to communicate and speak according to, hey, hold up, not right now. It's going to get done. And that communication solves the world many times. How many of you know I'm telling the truth in here? It solves it versus people don't understand them pots and pans clanging. Y'all keep looking straight ahead at me. Oh, your neighbor walks in and sees a hole in the wall, and they think, what in the world are they doing there? That hole don't communicate nothing. Y'all right in here? You doing all this repenting because you cussing and spitting and foaming at the mouth? I'm talking real good. Just communicate where you are. The next thing is this. A real man does this. Y'all doing all right in here? He accepts responsibility. To accept responsibility, you must refuse to blame. To accept, y'all wonder what she's doing. We're doing a video, promo video for the church. Hello, Eric. Welcome to BFF. We will change your life for the rest of your life. To accept responsibility, y'all just pay attention to me. You got to refuse to blame. Listen, I grew up in a church. Anybody grew up Pentecostal church? Yeah. All right, y'all remember Pentecostal, that Baptist church y'all may have did this, but we had testimony service. we had this do in remembrance of me table right here. And there was somebody that stood right here. Watch out now. And there was somebody that stood right here. Play that organ. And I was always afraid I was going to get caught. Let me put you into how I grew up. And they would always get up and say, I thank the Lord for saving me, sanctifying me, and filling me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I do speak in tongues and the Spirit of God give utterance. And then you would always close with this. Pray that I be one of the ones the Lord is calling for in these last days. Evil days. But I don't have time to testify because some of them testimonies should have never been spoken. You know what I'm talking about? They were out of control. I heard folks cuss. I done heard folks tell their business in testimony. But I believe there's some people in here who can testify. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. One of the first things that has to happen when you accept responsibility is when you refuse to blame. When you blame, you're putting the responsibility of change on something else. But there's some people in here that God does some great things in your life. If you don't mind, if you're in here today because life happens to people, if you were raised in a single-parent home and you turned out okay and God is still blessing your life and you say, I'm going to have a great family, I just want you to slip your hand up in here. Is there anybody in here who God delivered you from drugs and you saw a drug addiction? Let me see your hand in here. And for everybody else that didn't get, then raise your hand. You had to see God restore the black, take the black off your lips and put them back to their natural color. He can do it. They say when you smoke weed so long, it makes your lips turn black. Anybody here, God delivered you from anger? Anybody dealt with rejection because of abuse and all that as a kid, and you grew up just angry and you saw God deliver you? If you saw this one person who has dealt with the things that you have dealt with and God delivered them, you can lift your hands and say, God, it don't take away from what I'm going through, but God do it through me. Because you can get, listen, this is the reality. You can get so far in what you're going through that you lose sight of reality. You'll think God can never deliver you from this. That never happened to me. I'll never get delivered from this stronghold. Y'all look straight ahead. Don't lift your hand when I say this. You look straight ahead. But there were some ex-players in here who won just wouldn't do you. You've seen it. It'd been like that since you were a kid. You ever seen a little kid, little boy? I seen him walk into daycare. Little girl was taking off his jacket, handing him a wire and punch. Another little boy just sitting over there like, how did it happen? But God had to deliver you from all. No, come on. It started from a kid. You just always look, little girl, the people paid attention to you. But God can deliver you from that. But you have to accept responsibility. Let me tell you how to accept responsibility. There's two people that happens when it comes to blame. First is the blame acceptor. This person, you take on everybody's responsibility and yours. If it's wrong, you blame yourself. If something happened to you, I'm the reason my parents got a divorce. I'm the reason you punched me in my eye. I'm the reason all this stuff happened, and you accept all the blame because you fix everything. Then there was another person you blame project. I wouldn't have cussed you out if you wasn't so stupid. If you quit talking crazy, I quit acting like this. Yeah, come on, y'all look straight ahead at me. But in order to change, you got to move out of the blame. And here's how you move out of blame. Here's how you start to accept responsibility in your life. You got to clean up after yourself. One of the most challenging phases in childhood is potty training. Teaching that child to use the bathroom on their own and to clean up after themselves. Some of y'all have that very familiar voice, and your child's in the bathroom. Mama! Thank God they don't call daddies. But they might be called daddies. The child wants you to come clean them up, but you teach that child to clean up well after themselves. It doesn't stop in childhood. As an adult, you have to clean up after yourself. If it's wrong, I'm sorry. I messed up. I take responsibility for the damage that I caused. You clean up after yourself. You don't negate your responsibility. You take responsibility for the things that you've done. It's about righting the situation versus who's right. That's how you learn to live. The next thing is this. You got to deal with your pride. Since the beginning of time, men have been struggling, particularly men, to live a life as if they don't need God. To live a life as if I got this. I don't need nobody. And the reality is, if it were not for God, he was helping you when you didn't know you needed help. God was covering you when you didn't know you needed covering. God is your protector. God is your sustainer. And men have to learn. We have to learn to depend on God every single day. When you deal with your pride, you ask for help. You admit that you don't know everything, and when you get help, you don't give somebody that complimentary, hey, how you doing? No, you apply the help that you receive. The next thing is this, you gotta know your role. What is a man supposed to do? Roles have Perhaps most of you know of manhood and womanhood has changed. Many times women make more than men. Many times women work and the men work in the same house. You may have been raised in a house where there was no father and you saw your mother do everything. You guys got to come to an agreement. Nowadays, men used to say, I'm the man, I bring the bacon home. Now she got a whole farm of pigs. She ain't just got bacon, she got pork chops, she got everything, and she don't need you. So you got to figure out, how do you make this thing work together without competing the entire time? I'm going to give you two things that I believe men do. It's in Genesis 2. Men are to protect, and men are to produce. Protectors are responsible for their environment. Thursday, 2:45 in the morning. I remember it. All I heard was a doorbell ring. And Barbara said, Jason, somebody's at the door. I said, they are. I jumped up, threw my clothes on backwards. And I said, who is it? And he said, it's the police. And he's looking around the corner. I'm like, you the police? Why are you looking around the corner like that? I opened up the door, and he said, somebody dropped off a stolen car in your neighborhood, and they've broken in a bunch of cars in here. And one of your cars are the ones they hit. We left our car doors unlocked that door. And they had ravaged our entire car there. Stuff everywhere. I ain't had nothing of value in there, so they just threw the stuff everywhere. I came back in the house. I was talking to Barbara about it. Glad we're safe. God kept us and all that stuff like that. We got into bed, and Barbara began to pray. And she said, Lord, touch those people, whoever they are. God, turn their life around. God, let them not get killed. Let them, before they destroy, she's praying hard. And I'm sitting there staring the whole time. What you praying for? I hope that coyote at the end of the neighborhood bite one of them. I hope that skunk that walked through somebody's yard, I want them to spray them. I pray they tripped in a ditch, and I wish I'd have seen one of them. I wish I would have. Y'all laugh, I'm not. I wish I'd have seen one of them. You know why? We're wired differently. I'm saved, but I stick out these hands. Y'all hear? Love God. You don't love God? Y'all cutting up this morning. But that's how we're wired. And when I got in there talking to Isaiah said, Daddy, he sleep with a bat up on his bed. I don't know why. I'd have took my bat. I said, Buddy, I ain't need you out there today. Mess me up. But that's how you're wired. We're wired to protect. And you know the reason why many women, can I stop, flip, whatever, in a relationship, why many women shut down? If you don't feel safe, you're through. Men, if we don't feel respected, we shut down. But ladies, if you don't feel respected, you'll shut down too. And one of the worst things that happens is when people check out and they're in the same house. So take responsibility, deal with your pride, know your role, refuse to blame, and you begin to clean up after yourself. When you reject passivity and when you accept responsibility, manhood starts to happen. It's not about doing things right every day, but it's about getting it right and knowing what's right and knowing that God will help you stand to your feet all over the building.